This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked in the Quran, He linked between the prophetic miracle of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj with Masjid Al-Aqsa. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That indeed exalted is He who took His servant from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed, to show him of our signs. Indeed, He is the hearing and the seeing. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalts Himself. Subhanalladhi. He is removed from imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He exalts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because He says, bi'abdihi, His servant. He calls the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam His servant. He ascribes the Prophet to Himself. And He exalts in it Masjid al-Aqsa and all of the land around it. And all of this is in the context of the prophetic miracle of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this miracle to our Prophet, taking him in one night from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then ascending with him up into the heavens. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that he can see some of our signs. This miracle is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gift of journeying through the heavens and the cosmos and witnessing the signs of Allah azza wa jal. لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, He saw the great signs of His Lord. But this gift that Allah gives our Prophet did not come out of nowhere. This gift came in a time and in a context. It happened after the year of sorrow, when Khadija, the wife of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed away. And she was the strongest support of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was the one that would spend all her money to support the da'wah, to support our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was his emotional supporter. And she died. And in that same year, his uncle Abu Talib died. And his uncle was the one stopping Quraysh from harming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was providing political protection for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the person who was helping him outside the home and inside the home, both of them died in the same year. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was struck with grief. And in this time when Abu Talib has now died, and Quraysh feels like they can feast on the Muslims, this is the same time when a man came behind our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grabbed his cloak and began to choke him, to try to kill him. And everybody is watching, nobody's doing anything about it. Until Abu Bakr comes and starts to beat on the man on his back. And saying, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّي اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a man just because he says my Lord is Allah? The companions would come to our Prophet complaining, we're being tortured, our backs are being whipped, our flesh is being burned. And the Prophet would tell them, be patient. Because success and victory does not come until you are ready. And you are not ready until you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and act upon the implications of that knowledge. In every hardship, we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it as an opportunity, a chance to turn to Allah azza wa jal with more desperation. A chance to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal with more emotions. That every tear, every hardship, every cry of pain, it was a chance to know Allah better. Because through knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, that's how you're going to arrive at your victory. And so on the day of the Ta'if, in that same time period, after Khadija and Abu Talib have died, the Prophet goes to a Ta'if. And he's calling the people to Islam. It's like a last-ditch effort, hoping that they may support his da'wah. And the rulers reject him and insult him. He goes to the regular people, he gives them da'wah. Some of them start to consider Islam. So the elites of that society decide, we don't want this. And they gather a bunch of people and children and hooligans and thugs. They say, we'll pay you money, drive out Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the city. Get him out of here. All of a sudden a mob descends on our Prophet, throwing rocks, coming with sticks. So he runs for his life. And they hit him with rocks and he's bleeding. And he runs and he runs. The Prophet says, I lost, you know, when you're running for fear, you don't know what you're doing necessarily. He said, I lost, I don't know what I was doing, I was just running. It's an emotion. He's running for his life. He says, I didn't gather myself until he was kilometers away from a Ta'if. And he sits down and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns to Allah. He says, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati. Oh Allah, I am complaining to you about my weakness, how weak my power is. Wa qillata hilati, how little I have. How little I can present, I can do. Wa hawani 'ala an-nas, and the fact that I'm reliant upon people. Anta Rabbi, you are my Lord. Wa anta Rabbul mustada'ifin, and you are the Lord of those who are oppressed. Those who are vulnerable. إِلَى مَنْ تَكْنُنِي إِلَى عَدُوٌ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي أَمْ إِلَى قَرِيبٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي. Oh Allah, who are you leaving me to? Are you leaving me to the enemy that attacks me? Or to my relatives who you have made in control of me? Meaning Quraysh. إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. And then he says something so powerful. He says, oh Allah, as long as you are not angry with me, I do not care. Meaning whatever you put me through, whatever hardship, whatever persecution, whatever difficulty, as long as you are not angry with me. This is the prophetic way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعَرِي. Except that your afia, your ease and pardon, and forgiveness, this is better for me. This would be better for me. The Prophet broke down in pain. But he's breaking down with his love in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not breaking down in rejection to Allah. How dare you do this to me? How dare you put me through this pain? That's an arrogant breaking down. No, he breaks down in love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going through this pain, but as long as you, O Allah, are not angry with me, then I'll go through it. I will endure it. And now comes the gift of al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him on this miraculous journey. And he sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sees Jibreel in his original form. And of course, no one sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the next life, but he sees the veil of Allah azza wa jalla. He goes the closest to Allah that is possible. Jibreel tells the Prophet, I can't go any further. Only you can go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes beyond any of the creation. And his knowledge of Allah increases through this experience. And then the prophetic victories after this begin to come. As the knowledge of Allah increases, and your understanding of what you have to do with that knowledge, you implement it, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open the doors for you. They get the victory of Hijrah, the victory of Badr, the victory of Fath Mecca. All of these victories now come. But the physical victories manifest only after going through the process of hardship, of persevering, of continuously trying. No matter how difficult things are, you keep trying. And in centering yourself in the knowledge and in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we ask for victory today, we have to be aware of the material and the physical victory, but it can only come after that period of patience and perseverance and not giving up, and rather increasing our connection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we think about victory in the time that we have today, I want you to think about one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. In these names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of these names, Al-Jabbar, the compeller, the mighty. What does it mean? The restorer. They say there's three meanings to this name of Allah azza wa jalla. Al-Jabbar Al-Ali Fawqa Khalqi, the one who is above his creation. And the Arabs would say, Tajabbar al-Nabat. Like when the plants, when the tree, the date palm tree is growing, they would say Tajabbar. When it's grown to its highest height, they say Jabara. Jubara. They call the date palm tree that's really high Jubara. Because it's very high up. The other meaning is Yajbur al-Khalq ala ma sha'a min amrihi wa nahi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compels the creation to what He wants. He will compel everything to act in the way that He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one, يَجْبُرُ الْأُمُورِ, that He restores the affairs. يَجْبُرُ الْكَسْرِ, when something is broken, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can mend it. The first meaning of this, to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Jabbar, is the Most High. To realize Allah is above us. His plan is above our plan. His desire overwhelms our desires. No matter how high up you are elevated, in terms of knowledge, in terms of wealth, in terms of eloquence, power, honor, whatever it is, Allah is above you. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about this term Jabbar, if it is ascribed to a human being, it's evil. Because that human being is trying to raise themselves above Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. Isa alayhi salam says, while he's a baby, Allah did not make me what? Jabbar. He didn't make me this tyrant that tries to lift himself up above the people, above Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ, that every obstinate tyrant will be destroyed. كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. Allah seals over the hearts of everyone who is arrogant and jabbar, they are a tyrant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Most High. When we try to lift ourselves, become tyrants, lift ourselves over the people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys such a person. We are also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, the one who compels us. It's something to think about. Who compelled you to look the way that you look? Who compelled you to have the skin color that you have? Who compelled you to be born in the city that you are in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us freedom in terms of our choices of belief or disbelief. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compels so many aspects of our lives. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. Allah says to the heavens and the earth, come to me willingly or unwillingly. And they said to Allah, we will come willingly. The mountains, the stars, the moons, nature, all willingly moves according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being, He gave you the scope of decision. And in the end, you're going to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a slave. And whatever He wants is going to take place. If you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Most High, this gives you contentment, because you know things are under His control. And therefore, why should you be worried? If everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this strengthens your heart. This tells you, keep working. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And it reminds us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful over all things. When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from the Isra and Mi'raj, and it seems that Allah has told our Prophet to tell the people, not just to have experienced it, but to tell the people what he experienced. And he's sitting in Masjid al-Haram with a look on his face. And his enemy Abu Jahl walks by him and sees him. And he feels something is off. So he asks the Prophet, what's wrong? Even though they're enemies, he felt something was strange. He asks the Prophet, what's wrong? So the Prophet told him, he said, I went to Masjid al-Aqsa and I returned. Abu Jahl said, when? He said, yesterday, last night I went to Masjid al-Aqsa and I came back. And Abu Jahl is like, and you woke up amongst us? And the Prophet said, yes. And Abu Jahl can't contain himself. He's like, I got him now. He says, if I bring the people, are you going to tell them what you told me? He said, yes. The Prophet said, yes. So when he gathered all the people, brought them to the Prophet. And the Prophet tells them, and they're laughing, and they're insulting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then some of them start to ask him questions. Some of them have been to Masjid al-Aqsa, they've been to Jerusalem. They start to ask him about the buildings, about the things. And he's answering all their questions perfectly. And then they say, okay, well, if you went and you came, you must have seen the caravans that are going in that direction and returning back. He says, yes, I saw them. And he describes them perfectly. And he says they're about to enter Mecca from the house of Abu Talib, from that direction. And they look and they see the caravan indeed is coming. And they run, some of the people at the same time ran to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they tell him, did you hear what Muhammad said? Did you hear what Muhammad said? He said that he went to Masjid al-Aqsa and returned in one night. And Abu Bakr has not yet heard it from the Prophet. What did Abu Bakr say? قَالَ إِن قَالَهَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If he said this, because I don't know, you're the one telling me this, I don't know, I don't trust you. But if he said it, then he is truthful. Right away, believes. People thought this is impossible. This is an impossibility. Because it goes against what they consider to be natural laws. But who created these natural laws? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what He wills happens. The problem in our society, even amongst Muslims, we limit ourselves mentally. Somebody will say, you know, we doubt the miracles because they go against science. The moon didn't split unless science tells us it split. And if I can find a scientific reasoning, I say, Allahu Akbar. Okay, what if the science changes? What if the scientific consensus says, no, we change our opinion. These things didn't happen. Do you change your iman with it? No. Because science is a flawed measure. It's a human activity. It's a flawed measure. And the Quran is divine. And we don't measure the divine by what is flawed. But it goes beyond this. We have a problem of being fatalistic. We think we're doomed to fail. The ummah is lost. But the victory came to these people, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they understood the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They understood Allah's al-Jabbar. They understood the natural laws run according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, what is considered impossible is possible by the decree of Allah azza wa jalla. They thought it's impossible to go to Bayt al-Maqdis and come back to Mecca in one night. Is that impossible? People can do that all the time. It's an hour flight. They thought it's impossible. The Prophet ﷺ said when they were asking questions about Al-Quds, about Bayt al-Maqdis, about Jerusalem, they were asking questions. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a vision because he couldn't remember. He went there at night. He couldn't remember what was there. But when they were questioning him, he said, Allah gave me a vision of the city. So everything they asked me, I could see it and I can describe it for them. Sounds impossible. Today you can get a live view on your cell phone. You can be walking around and you can get a live view. The things that we think are impossible, are they really impossible? Are they really beyond the capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Victory came when they understood this. They understood the power of Allah. So when Abu Bakr is asked, he says, if the Prophet said it, I believe him. Now, the reason I'm leading to this question, if Allah promises victory for this ummah, if He promises that if we unite, there is victory for the ummah, if He promises that if we believe and we refuse to love the dunya, and we refuse to be people who hate to die, because the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the reasons for this downfall is al-wahn. Allah puts wahn in the heart of the person. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةِ الْمَوْتِ. If we take this asbab that the Prophet ﷺ told us, that the Muslims start to unite in reality, that the Muslims start to believe in truth in this religion, that the Muslims are willing to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is victory impossible? Can you believe that victory is possible? Can you believe maybe not in our lifetimes, but in our children's lifetimes, they'll see the victory, maybe even in our lifetimes. This victory will take place. But how much are you willing to believe? That's the question. The fall of the Ummah and what has taken place in the last 100 years, it can be reversed. But the question is whether or not we're willing to have that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and build upon that belief. The other reason for us to think about this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jabbar, I love this name for one reason, for an important reason, for many reasons, but an important reason. Some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to do with His mercy. He is Rahman, He is Rahim. Some of the names of Allah have to do with His power, His might, His punishment for those who are worthy of His punishment. This name is both, because He is Jabbar, He is exalted in His might, in His power, He is the Most High. But Jabbar means the one who restores, the one who mends, the one who fixes. So if you're oppressed, who do you turn to? If someone has taken from you your rights, who do you turn to? You turn to Al-Jabbar. When you feel broken inside, who do you turn to? You turn to Al-Jabbar, the one who mends the hearts. Ali radiallahu anhu used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Jabbar kulla kaseer, O one who mends everyone who's broken. So He in the same name can punish the tyrants, and in the same name He mends those who have been oppressed. He supports those who have been oppressed. He helps those who have been oppressed. He's there for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he makes that dua outside of Ta'if. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I'm complaining to you about the weakness of my power. This is the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in His might and in His generosity, in His tenderness, in His protection. We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these times. We have to think about Allah azza wa jal and deepen that connection like our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He deepens the connection to Allah azza wa jal. He refuses to lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's willing to surrender himself to Allah azza wa jal. Oh Allah, whatever it is you want to do with me, I'm okay with it. If you want for me to live this world completely persecuted, as long as you are not angry with me, I will do it. That kind of surrendering ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acting upon our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving the way that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strove in his life. This is what's going to transform us. فَأَقُونُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ